Children, those working with them to be dismissed for Children's Church. And as they're going, if you would open back up with me to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. If you're grabbing a pew Bible and you open it up, it might just open right to it as much as we've gone there recently. But that's on page 1159. Of the Pew Bible in front of you, Acts chapter 2. In just a minute, we'll read verses 42 through verse 47. But before we do so, just want to remind you where we've been. We've been reading this passage since January 1st. And in January 1st, and that first Sunday of this year, we set what's really going to be a theme for us over the course of 2017. And that's this word together. And that if we're going to be the church that God wants us to be, we've got to be together. We've got to be united, and we've got to follow Christ, not just as individuals, but we're called to follow Christ together. That's what it means to be a church. We follow Christ together. We see that in Acts chapter 2. Of course, we missed a week there, January 8th, for the snow, but January 15th, when we came back, we talked about the first of our four core values that we're going through now. And the first one of those was this word magnifying. Magnifying. We see that in Acts 2:47 as it speaks of them praising God, that we praise God with our lips. But in that passage, we also see how they do that with their lives. And that's really the call for all of us. And that's the great goal that we have as Christians is everything we say and everything we do. And for us as a church, everything we do together is about magnifying God. It's about showing how great He really is, praising Him and pointing others to see God as big as He really is. Last week, we talked about this word maturing. God's work in us as followers of Christ is to mature us. And we said that was to grow us in ever-increasing Christ-likeness in both our thinking and our living. Maturing is thinking and living more like Jesus every day of our lives. We're growing in that way. And we saw how that's a goal not just for the leaders of the church. That's a goal not just for Sunday school teachers. That's a goal for every single member of our church, that we would all be growing together towards maturity. And this morning, we're going to introduce our next core value, and that's the word ministering. Ministering. We are to be a church that magnifies God and that's maturing together. We've got to grow in ministering to one another. And we're going to see that today. And so we're keeping track with this new statement. And we'll put that on the screen. And after today, with one more week to go, here's where we're going to be. We exist as Mountain Creek Baptist Church to magnify God together as maturing and ministering followers of Jesus. Would you bow with me as we pray? Father, we want to honor You. We want to magnify You and to lift Your name up, not just when we're here, but every day of our lives. And that means we should live in accordance with Your Word, and we should live in response to the Gospel. We should live empowered by Your Spirit whom You've given to us. So because of those things, Lord, we pray that You would mature us and You would grow us to Christ-likeness in our thinking and in our living. And Lord, we pray also that in response to Jesus, to who You are and what You've done and giving Your life for us and serving us, and that we would respond to that by serving one another. And so I pray that as we think about that together from Your Word this morning, that You would make that very clear to us, that You would give us even thoughts of how individually we can serve and meet needs of one another in this body. Help us to respond. Help us to apply this. Help us to live differently. Thank You for Your Word. May we faithfully follow it. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 42. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers, and all came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common, and Look at verse 45. They were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. Day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number, day by day, those who were being saved. Verse 45 says that they had their possessions and they had their belongings and they were willing to give of their resources. And the reason they gave of their resources was because they recognized that in their group, in this body, in this church, there were needs. And there were needs that needed to be met. And so as each was able, they met these needs. They took care of one another's needs. We see that primarily here in verse 45 through their giving and giving sacrificially to do that. But you also see hints of that in verse 46. If they're breaking bread together in their homes, they're receiving food together, somebody's preparing that food, somebody's opening those homes to one another. They're using their gifts, their talents, they're meeting needs. And that's what it means to minister to one another. When we talk about ministering to one another, we're talking about serving. Now think of going to a restaurant like a waiter comes and meets your every need while you're there at the restaurant. That's what we're talking about when we're talking about ministry and serving, meeting needs of one another. And last week, we saw this briefly in Ephesians 4. That the work of ministry is not just for the leaders, but the work of ministry is for everyone. It said for all of us in the church, we're to all engage in the work of ministry. And so many of you have probably heard the phrase, every member a what? Every member a minister. Many of you have heard that, every member a minister or every member ministry, that we're all to do this. These are ideas that many of us who grew up in the church have had before. But we can be honest, that's intimidating. It's intimidating to think that way. And maybe you ask, maybe you're asking, what difference can I make? I mean, what do I really bring to the table here? Maybe you're new and you're unsure. Or maybe you've been around for a while and you're seeing how others are serving and you think, what can I do? When we ask that question, it often comes with this assumption that there's really nothing that I can do. That's not the assumption that Abigail Loupy had. Abigail Loupy, at the age of 7, loved singing. And she went to visit her great-grandmother for her 100th birthday in an assisted living facility. And she just simply sang for her grandmother, her great-grandmother. And while she was there, she realized as a 7-year-old that these folks living in these homes didn't have many visitors and that they loved it when she sang to them. Well, she loved singing, and she loved making people happy, so that's just what she began to do. And soon enough, she had a group of 6 to 13-year-olds that traveled to over 20 nursing homes simply to use what they loved, singing, to serve the needs of other people. The same kind of story is told of a little girl named Winter Vinicky. She grew up in a family that loves to run. When she was 8 years old, she had already run a 10K. And in the process, she raised $1,100 for cancer research. When she was 9 years old, her dad was diagnosed with prostate cancer. And she wanted to do even more. And she loved to run. And so she got a group of her friends together. And by the time she was 10, they had raised over $100,000 just doing what they loved to help fight cancer. By the time she was 12, that team of kids just doing what they love had raised over $250,000 to fight cancer, to meet a need just by doing what they loved. Or the story of Blair Gooch. Blair was a boy when Haiti was struck by the earthquake. You remember the earthquake in Haiti in 2010 that left so much devastation? Blair saw a newscast, and in the newscast, there was a boy sitting in the rubble crying. And Blair thought, when he was a little younger, how he used to be comforted by his teddy bear. And he loved that teddy bear. And so he took that teddy bear and asked others to give teddy bears. And this little boy, Blair, donated more than 25,000 teddy bears to Haiti and more than 22,000 other teddy bears to nonprofit groups here. And he took something that he loved and he used it to meet the needs of other people. And that's what we're talking about when we're talking about ministry. It's simply doing what you love for the good of others. That's ministry. God has given each of us passions. He's given each of us desires. He's given each of us things that we enjoy and things that we're good at. And he's saying, use those to serve others. Use those to meet the needs and for the good of other people. That's ministry. Here's a definition for you on the screen. Ministering is this. It's simply using your gifts for the good of others to the glory of God. Ministry is using your gifts for the good of others and to the glory of God. It's making use of your talents to magnify God by meeting the needs of others. And that's what He's called every single one of us to do. And here's where we see that in Scripture. I want you to turn with me now to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. Ministry is using your gifts for the good of others to the glory of God. And we're going to take just a few minutes to see this together in 1 Peter chapter 4, and verse 10 and 11. And I'm going to begin reading just to set the context in your mind at verse 7, but we're going to focus on verses 10 and 11 of 1 Peter chapter 4. Verse 7, Peter writes, "The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, because the coming in, Christ will return, because we know this is certain, therefore," he says, "be self-controlled and be sober-minded for the sake of your prayers." Don't be distracted, he's saying, by other things. Be focused and be diligent. Above all, you can underline that, above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another. And then he adds, without grumbling. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. In verse 10 and 11, "As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To Him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." He says simply, number one, each of us has received a gift. Each of us, each believer, every believer has received a gift. Our gifts are different. They're different. They're evidences of God's varied grace to us. So we each have gifts and they're different. We're just talking about the skills or the talents, or the resources, or the abilities, or the desires that you have, that you can and you should be using for the good of others. He says each of us, every believer in the body has something that we can use for building up others. In verse 11 in 1 Peter, he divides them into two camps, speaking and serving. He splits them in two here. There's gifts of speaking and gifts of serving. But this is really just one of five different lists in the New Testament that lists out the gifts that God has given to His church. A couple of those are a lot more well known. And so maybe you think of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where we see this list of gifts that God gives to His church in verses 7 through 11. You can look at that this afternoon, 1 Corinthians 12, 7 through 11. Also in Romans 12, and we'll put that here on the screen. Romans 12, verses 6 through 8, and we see another one of these lists. He says, "Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in exhortation, the one who contributes with generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness." In these passages, 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12, 1 Peter 4, consistently we see gifts have been given by God to His people. Gifts have been given by God to His people. They are manifestations of His Spirit. And God gives us the power that we need to use these gifts. And consistently we see, therefore, the common good. God does not give you a gift for you to keep to yourself. He doesn't give us gifts. He doesn't give me a gift or give you a gift just to build yourself up. It's for us. And it's to build us up, and it's to build the church, which means if each of us has a gift and it's for the building up of the church, if any one of us is holding back, our church is lacking in some way. There's needs that you can meet uniquely that we're lacking in if you're not using your gifts. God's given us gifts, and therefore the common good. That's exactly what we see when we look back to 1 Peter. Peter says that in verses 10 and 11. So number two, this gift. Number one, God's given us the gift. Each believer has received the gift. And number two, this gift is not to be used for self, but for serving others. This gift is to be used for serving others. There's a radio program called This American Life. They did a series of interviews in 2013 engaging ordinary people with a simple question that I want to ask you. And I bet most of you, and not just these right here, can answer it pretty quickly. If you had one superpower, what would it be? If you had one superpower, is that you got an answer? If you got one superpower, what would it be? And here's a follow-up question to that. What would you use it for? When I was a little kid, Stephanie laughs at me sometimes. I've told her when I was a little kid and I would go out to recess at our playground at school, and I can remember thinking, I wish I could fly. And here's what I would do when I was a kid at recess if I could fly. Right across the street from the school was my friend Jason. His house was right across the street from the school. And I thought if I could fly, I would fly to Jason's house and skip school. Now, why I wouldn't fly somewhere else or to my own house or who knows where, I don't know, but how would you use your superpower? And it was the answer to those questions, and particularly the second question that surprised this interviewer with This American Life. Here's what he said. What surprised me was how quickly everyone would choose, as though they had been thinking about it for a long time. Everyone knew exactly which superpower they wanted and what they would do with it. Their plans, he says, weren't always flashy or heroic. In fact, they almost never were. One woman wanted invisibility so that she could act as a petty thief and steal cashmere sweaters. He said, typically this is how it goes. People want to turn invisible to sneak into movies. People want to fly so they don't have to take a bus. Here's one thing that pretty much no one ever said. I'll use my power to fight crime. No one seemed to care about that. Like the guy who said, I don't think I would want to spend a lot of time using my power for good. I mean, if you had to rescue somebody from a burning building, you might catch on fire. You know what that shows us? That shows us that most of us, we wish and we want there to be something significant about us. Something about me that sets me apart from everybody else. Almost all of us want that in some way. And if we had it, almost all of us would want to use it for us. Almost all of us would want to use it for ourselves. And that's not the way of the Bible. God has called us to something different. You do have something significant about you. You do have something that sets you apart from everybody else. God has given you a gift. And He wants to release you to use that for His people, for the building up of His church. He gave that to you for the good of others. 1 Peter 4:10 shows us that every gift is given to man with the condition that we use it. It says very clearly, just read it, as each has received a gift, Use it to serve one another. That's the condition God has put on your gift. Use it to bless other people. We're called to steward or to manage these gifts. We're to direct them towards the benefit of other people and not for ourselves. And we do a great job, Mountain Creek. We do a great job of serving others. As I talk to people about our church, one thing I say is we're a church who serves. So I want to encourage us to grow. And there's two groups primarily that I want to encourage for just a minute. If you're serving right now in a ministry area of our church, I just want to encourage you to think outside the box for just a minute. And think outside our normal programs, our normal set times. What can you do outside of that? What can you do to serve the body here? What can you do to meet the needs of others? And maybe a second group, maybe you haven't begun serving. Maybe you've been here for a very long time. Being here for you looks like coming here on Sunday morning at 10:30 and that's about it. Or maybe you're brand new here and you're still getting a feel and you haven't begun serving. I just want to encourage you. Certainly look at our normal schedule, the things that we do, and find somewhere that you love and jump in and serve and partner with us. But think also, what are your unique gifts? What are your unique gifts and your talents that you bring to our body? What can you do? I often get a question. I've got it actually a couple of times this week. How do I know what my gifts are? How do I? Maybe you read the list and it seems complicated, or you read the list and you think, well, maybe that, but what do I do even if it is that? And I just want to allow us to get real simple here for just a minute. How do you know? I'll just ask you three questions. They're going to be up here. You can write them down. I'll just ask you this. What do you enjoy doing? What do you enjoy doing? What do others affirm in you? And what doors has God opened for you? Where has He given you opportunities to serve? We can get sidelined sometimes because we think so long and so much about what I can do and that doesn't work or this doesn't work, and we don't allow ourselves to simply ask, well, what do I like to do? What am I good at? What do other people say that I'm good at? What has God continued to open doors for me? You know, we've got some ladies in our church that really love interior design and decorating. And over the last several months, they've spent a lot of time using just that knack that they have, something that I could never do, and have done an incredible job sprucing up our missionary house to give us a place for missionaries to stay when they come here. Just using a gift that they have for the good of others. I talked to a gentleman in our church recently, and his small group that he meets with, a group of guys that he meets with, they enjoy working on cars. And he said, you know, we're thinking about going to a local boys' home, and we're just going to teach some of the boys maybe teach some of the boys how to change the oil in a car. Just taking a gift and using it to meet the needs of others. Brody Bricker, Janet, are you in here? I'm not meaning anything bad right now. Brody Bricker, he has a gift. He can smoke some good food, and he's going to do that this Friday night. He's just using a gift to serve others. Others open their homes. Others love cooking. Others give generously and often anonymously to meet needs. What about you? Do you enjoy taking pictures? Do you enjoy posting things on Instagram or Facebook or Twitter? You enjoy graphic design? I mean, that kind of level. Do you like that kind of stuff? Hey, look, there's some ways you can use that to meet needs in our body. You can talk with me, or you can just do things on your own to use that. God's given you that, so use that. Do you enjoy working with your hands? Do you like doing a job that you get done and you can see the finished product? There are ways you can use those things here in our church to meet the needs of families here. Have you been affirmed by others that you've just got a knack for making people feel comfortable and welcome? Do you just enjoy opening your homes and inviting guests in? You can use that for our body. Do you like to read? You can use that love for books. Do you like sewing or crafts or painting? Do you like to work on cars, or do you like to build with your hands? Do you like to hunt and fish? Do you enjoy cooking? Any of these things, you can use these things and so many more for our people. And so here's the million-dollar question. How can you do what you love for the good of others and the glory of God? That's the question that every single one of us needs to ask. How can you do what you're already going to be doing because you love doing it? How can you do that for the good of others and the glory of God? What can you do to use your gifts for the good of others and the glory of God? Because that last phrase is what it's all about. 1 Peter 4:11 ends that with this. Verse 11, he says that whoever serves is one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To Him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. He says when we serve His people by using His gifts, relying on His strength, we don't get the glory. He gets the glory. He's given you things you love and things you enjoy, talents and skills. How can you use that for His glory, relying on Him to meet the needs of others? Ministry is using your gifts for the good of others to the glory of God. And the only way we're going to be able to live that out is by looking at the one who modeled that for us. We're talking about using our gifts for the good of others. We're talking about using our resources and using our skills and using our time for the good of others. We're talking about laying down our lives for the good of others. And we have one who modeled that for us, who did that perfectly for you, the passage we began our service with today, that He came to be a servant. He came to meet our needs. He came to show us what that looked like in the very practical things, but He came to do that ultimately by laying down His life for you. Here's what He said in Mark 10:45. It'll be on the screen. That even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give His life as a ransom for many. When we come this morning to the table, we're doing that to remember and honor the life of the one who gave Himself for us. And that's the gospel. Jesus gave His life for you. Jesus gave Himself for you, for all who would receive Him. Hear me if you're a guest. Hear me if you're a longtime member and you've got some questions and doubts. For all who would receive Him by faith, He offers complete forgiveness of sins. He offers restored relationship to God. He offers life forever with Him. That came through Him giving His life as a ransom for you. That's the gospel. And so this morning when we take communion, we take the Lord's Supper together, we do that to remember Him giving Himself for us. And in remembering, we're called to go and live likewise. We're called to go and give ourselves for the good of others. That's what we're testifying to.